I want to start today by asking you a question. Is God righteous? Is he just? Okay. Now, if you have never thought about this question, you say, of course. But here's the question. He's the judge, and he's the judge at the court of law, and you come along and you murder someone, right? And then he declares you righteous, just. Is he a just judge? Absolutely not. He's not just, right? How could just God declare unjust person righteous? That's a big question, actually. If you never thought about it, maybe you should think about it, because that'll help you understand the glory of the gospel. I mean, the glory of the gospel. I know today some of you came. I don't know where you were last night, but it doesn't really matter. If God could give you grace for you to focus and listen carefully today, okay? So this is our ninth message, and we are doing verse 25. We're actually doing, I'm actually sharing five messages with six verses, okay? And today we're doing 25a, okay, 25a, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. That's what we're going to be talking about today. And what are we talking about when we say God put forward as a propitiation? We're talking about the cross. Can you believe that God put Jesus on the cross? Now stay with me for a second. It is God put forward, put him publicly, offered Jesus on the cross. Can you even imagine that? Right? Would you do that to your child? Would you do that to anybody? Right? Let alone your child. But that's the message of the gospel, and it's glorious, and you need to think about this with me. Okay? God put forward as a propitiation. Okay? That's not a hard word. It's in the Bible. Okay? And in fact, it's one of the key words of the scripture. Propitiation. Okay? By his blood. Okay? For those of you who are joining for the first time, we're trying to lay Christian foundation of Christianity in your life. I don't know whether you have it. I don't know whether you grew up learning what Christian doctrine, Christian beliefs are. This is what the scripture teaches, and this is Christianity kind of thing. Okay? So last 3 weeks, we talked about probably one of the most important messages in Christianity, salvation by faith. Okay? The difference between all the other religion and Christianity is salvation is by faith. All the other religion, you have to do it. You have to work yourself in. But Christianity says you can't do it. None of you. None of you could do it. It's only by receiving by faith. Justification by faith. Last week we talked about redemption. I want to explain this word one more time. For those of you who are joining for the first time, redemption has to do with slavery, okay? I mean, are you a slave? And you would say, what are you talking about? We're living in 21st century. In America, I'm not a slave. Well, Bible says you are slaves. You are born as slaves. Every single one of you, what do you mean? You're born as slave to sin and Satan. I'm going to pause for a second, because I know it's going to shock some of you. You're born as a slave to Satan. What is slavery? Slavery is something that you cannot say no to. You have a master. Master who doesn't love you. And you will never be able to say no to your master. Think about it. You're a slave. If you say no, you'll get beat. You'll get hit. You know, you'll be beaten. And you know what? That master doesn't love you. And that master will take you to the limit and then throw you away. That's slavery. That's what the scripture states. That's why So many of us, some of you are aware of that, some of you are not, you live like a slave. You're a slave to sex, sexual sin. I'm not trying to condemn you. Unless we see what we are dealing with, you will never see the light of Jesus Christ. Some of you are slave to drugs. Some of you are slave to alcohol. I hate alcohol. My friends drink so much, I hate it. It's destroying their lives. They've been drinking half of their life, 40, 50 years of their life. Don't you have family members like that? If you're Asian, if you're Korean, you probably do, because the drug of choice for Koreans is alcohol. Everything is alcohol. For Americans, it's different things, right? It could be drugs, it could be legal drugs, illegal drugs, alcohol, it could be anything. But for Koreans, for the last 50, 60 years, 100 years, it's the alcohol. But can I tell you something? Alcohol has been the drug of choice of humanity. Throughout humanity. Okay, I went to South Sudan many years ago. They've been fighting a war for 30 years. So there is no infrastructure. There is no school, there is no hospital, there is no clean water, there is no hospital, there is nothing. But you know what? There is bar. There are bars with air conditioning. Can you believe that? Not air conditioning, a refrigeration. So when you go in, you drink cold beer. In a place where there is nothing, there is alcohol. I hope this makes sense to you. So redemption has to do with setting you free from that slavery, that life-dominating sin of your life. Do you have one? Perhaps today, God wants to free you, deliver you, breathe hope upon you. You know how he could do that? There is only one way to set someone free, by paying the price to the master, right? To whom it is owed, and you take that slave and you could set him or set her free. In other words, the price, lutron, or the price needs to be paid, okay? So we talked about redemption. We talked about slavery. Now, here's what I ask you to think about. Christianity has two constituents, God and you. Right away, you have a problem. If there is God and there is you, you already have a problem, don't you think? Because we stand before the Almighty God. We already have a problem. When you have God and men together, we need a Savior, right? God, who is infinitely holy, and he's just, and he will explain that. I mean, I'm going to explain that today, and you are not. Are you just? Do you feel so clear conscience? Do you feel, you know, you're such a perfection? I don't know whether you feel like that. We all suffer with guilty conscience. Right? So guilty person standing before the holiness of God, we already have a problem. We must have some sort of remedy, okay? So if you have a God here, and if you have us here, there's only one person standing in the middle. That's one mediator, that's man Jesus Christ, 1 Timothy. Now we're talking about the cross. Last week, we talked about the work of cross toward manward, which is redemption. Cross, redeem us. Today, I want us to talk about how cross go Godward and it propitiates. Do you understand that? I don't think it's very complicated. Cross is in the middle. There is God and there is us. And cross, the work of the cross is to redeem us, pour his grace and free us. At the same time, the cross, Godward work, is to propitiate, okay? And I want to explain that right here, okay? So we're going to talk about propitiation by his blood. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of glory of God. Can I just remind you? None of you are more righteous than the other. None of you are better than the other. Okay? It's okay. Look up here. Yeah, please. None of you are better than others. In God's sight, it's not that much different. I sort of illustrated this during the Bible study, and somebody thought it was pretty good. I don't think it's that good, but let me illustrate that. Let's say kindergartners are learning to play golf, okay? So they get this toy golf, what do you call that? Golf, what do you call this? Club, yeah, golf club, okay? You learn to swing as a kindergartner, right? And then another kindergartner looks at, wow, you're so good. Wow, you're amazing. You are so amazing. Wow, where did you learn that? Who taught you that? 5-year-old, they're just talking. And then Tiger Woods look at him, you know, how good are they? Right? How good are they? How much more? Infinitely holy God looks at you. And you're good? You're better? How much better? Okay? So, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We stop there. The manward work of the cross is redemption. Now, today we're going to talk about Godward work of the cross, which is propitiation. You may or may not understand this yet, okay? Please listen carefully because it's just going to add so much dimension to the understanding of Christianity, I hope, today, okay? So what was the cross about? This was to show, demonstrate God's justice or righteousness because in His divine forbearance, He had Passover sins. Let me explain that, okay? Propitiation has to do with justice. Is God just? Absolutely just. Now here's the thing. When someone wrong you, you have to pay the price. Say you commit a crime to U.S. government. You, let's say, I hate this kind of illustration, but you kill someone. Okay, you are caught as a first degree murderer and you stand before the justice of U.S. government. You must pay the price. That's how justice is done. Justice demands the price or penalty, okay? Say someone wronged you, okay, wronged me. There is two options I have. Let's say someone really hurted me, okay? Let's say I'm gonna use Nick. Nick really hurted me with his muscle, okay? Nick, lighten up. Nick really hurted me, and I have an option. First option is, I hurt him back. You hurted me. You hurted my family, and I'm going to hurt you back. Okay? Justice has been met. Okay? Do you see that? The second option is, he hurted me, but he's the member of this congregation, and I'm his shepherd. I know the love of the Lord, so I forgive him. Okay? So his, you know, his debt has been pardoned. I forgave him. However, I must suffer because I was hurt. I must suffer and absorb that pain. Justice has been met, right? But I must suffer. What I'm trying to explain is this. Justice both involves suffering and pain. Okay, if he hurts me and I hurt him back, okay, justice has been met, but we hurt each other, we hate each other, we're enemies. There is no love involved, just justice. I pay him back. But the second option is he hurted me really, really bad. It's really painful, but with the love of Christ, I just absorb that pain and I pardon him. Justice has been met, but what's the difference? The love has been built. Okay, the love has been built. How much more, if you think about it, people? If God pays you with justice, none of you have a chance. In fact, we don't exist because if you think about it throughout history, if it's God is just, right there and then you should be punished. Every single time, every single moment, none of us should remain. But over the course of history, God, with his forbearance, his patience, he passed over sins. He just lets you slide. No, not slide. He was being patient with you. So his justice was never demonstrated. Do you understand that? All throughout history until the cross, his justice was never demonstrated. He was always patient, always forgiving, always forbearing. But at the cross, the Bible is saying he poured whatever you owe upon this person of Jesus Christ. Do you hear it? Through the cross, God demonstrated he is just. John MacArthur share how he deals with sin like this. He said, every sin ever committed by every person who has ever loved, ever lived, will be paid for. Every sin. Every sin. You're going to have to pay for it before the holiness and justice of God. That's justice. God is so love, he must punish sin. And you know, people have problem with that statement. Can I just illustrate this? Let's say I'm a father and my son, one of my son is going into drugs and it hurts me because I love my son. Every day I pray, I try to counsel him. There's my son, okay, there's another my son, okay. They are taking drugs and destroying themselves. Every day I see less and less of them. It hurts me and it angers me. I'm angry. Why? Because I love them. Love and anger is something that cannot be separated in experience. You care about that person. That's why you're angry. When someone you care is being destroyed by whatever, right? Whether it is crime, drugs, or alcohol, or sin, or sexual craziness. When you see your child or someone you love is being destroyed, you get upset and you get angry. How much more God would be angry toward you because he loves you? Do you understand that? God is wrathful. And that wrath must be propitiated, appeased. The word propitiation means appease or satisfy. Satisfy what? Satisfy the demand of the justice of God. Appease what? The wrath of God. So in other words, propitiation is the work of Christ toward Godward on the cross. So the cross has Godward work as well as manward work. So here is a provocative statement for some of you, I hope it is. Christ died, not just for us, but Christ died for God. Did you hear me? Okay. Let me just pause for a second because I know it's a provocative statement. If you could understand what I'm trying to say here. Christ died for God, not only for us. Cross was needed, not only for us, but for God. Why? Because his justice must be demonstrated. Otherwise, he's not just God. Just like the pagan gods of the old time. You know, pagan gods were capricious, inconsistent. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. Sometimes they do the right thing, sometimes they do different things. Sometimes they do it this way, sometimes do it the other way. God of the Bible is not like that. He is immutable. He's same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is just. Every sin of every person of every day will be paid for, okay? And you could be set free, and you could be redeemed, right? Because Christ appeased and satisfied, propitiated on the cross through his blood. You know, I think about this. What is the main purpose of salvation? What is the main purpose of the cross? Can I just ask you? What kind of question is that? Cross is about saving me, right? Cross is about saving hopeless sinners like me so that I could be saved. Is that what the scripture says? What is the purpose of the cross? What is the ultimate purpose of the cross and salvation? You know what? You'll be surprised. If you read Romans, all the way from chapter 1 to chapter 11, which is the treatise of salvation of Christianity, and if you go to all the way to chapter 11, what do you see? Okay? What do you see? Do you remember? Anybody remember? Paul gets excited. Paul gets so excited after explaining that great message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He gets so excited at the end, and he began to praise God. What an unsearchable wisdom of God. He began to glorify God. We call that doxology. I don't know whether you could appreciate that, but the main purpose of salvation and the cross and Christianity is the glory of God. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday. Oops. You know that verse that converted me many years ago? For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. What does that mean? What does that mean? At the end, everything is about glory of God. Wow. When I get to heaven, you know what I'll be doing? I'll be glorifying God. Salvation, we always think it's for us, right? It's to save, which is true, absolutely true. But there is a greater purpose of great God, is to glorify him. And then he goes, from him, through him, and to him are all things. Do you remember in John chapter 17? Jesus prayed, okay? John chapter 17 is a prayer of Jesus right before he died. If you read the very beginning of John chapter 17, something that I didn't quite understand what that meant. But he said, he's praying to the Father. Son is praying to the Father right before he died. And this is what he prays. Father, now I glorify you. He's ready to die. And he's saying, I glorify you. What does that mean? Now I'm going to demonstrate your great justice. Great justice. As you pour that wrath upon me, and I become a ransom through my blood, and I glorify you by demonstrating who you are, the justice of God. That's what he's saying. Okay? I want you to kind of just sit for a moment, because I know this would be a new thing to many of you. It was kind of new to me. Something I kind of knew, but never really thought about it carefully. But this time around, as I studied the book of Romans, cross is not just for you, it's for God. What a provocative statement if you think about it. Jesus died for God. Okay? Now here's a crazy statement, okay? Which I think it is mind-boggling to me. Verse 25, that's where we are looking at. Jesus Christ, whom God is the main, is the subject, he put forward. Okay, the word put forward is make it public. He kind of like, sort of like pushed him. He planned it, he desired it, and he executed. I think that's what it means. God put forward Jesus for God, by God, through God. Isn't that what it is? God put him forward for the justice of God, for the glory of God, and the Son of God, or Triune God, he did it. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that mind-boggling?
so mind-boggling.
Why? For a great slave like myself, so that he could be a great redeemer to me. Does that make sense to you? The great God sent Jesus for God and through God. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ of the cross. That's the doctrine and the teaching of the cross. It's amazing if you think about it. It is so mind-boggling. And what is the purpose? And the purpose is you, to redeem you, okay? Remember I shared the story of Ruth and Naomi and Boaz in the book of Ruth? Boaz is the kinsman redeemer who delivered this family that was hopeless. I don't know whether you feel your family is hopeless. It's just hopeless. There's no hope. There's no love between mother and father. They fight all the time. And the kids don't care about their parents. We never eat together. We scream at each other. We feel like there is no hope. Absolutely no hope. We don't even know where to begin. I don't know whether you feel like that. There's a family of Naomi and two daughter-in-law, and husband and two sons died. In the Old Testament time, when you become a widow, you're basically, you're hopeless. There's no way to survive. That's why God has a special provision for widows and orphans in the Bible, right? So Naomi and two daughter-in-law, especially the Ruth, the book of Ruth, she is a Moabite, meaning she's a Gentile. And in Palestine, they look at Gentiles like animals, subhumans. Subhuman widow, hopeless person. And God send Boaz, one of his family member, he comes along and he pays for them, for their debt, and then delivers them out of their distress. And, you know, if story stops there, it's still a beautiful story, but Boaz fall in love with Ruth. And they marry. And then they have a child. His name is Obed. Okay, who's this dude, right? Obed. Obed is the great-grandfather of David, King David. So interesting, if you look at Book of Ruth, it's only a 4-chapter book. At the end, it ends with genealogy of King David. What is that? You know what the significance is? You see the same genealogy in Matthew chapter 1, which is the genealogy of Jesus Christ. In other words, that hopeless Moabite woman, right, now is in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. What an amazing story. But here's the story, though. But here's the thing, though. You and I don't know how you feel about yourself. He paid the debt for you, and he loves you. He fall in love with you, and he marries you, and he gives you hope. Now your name is in the family list genealogy of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know who I am? I'm a child of God, son of God. Okay, small s, okay? Child of God, son of God, because he bought me, he ransomed me. Through what? Through the blood, okay? Through the blood. And he loves me, he loves you if you have faith in him. And he marries you, literally marries you. Christ is the groom and the church is the bride, literally marries you. And we have a glorious hope and redeemed us. But today we're looking at the other side. What's the message of the cross toward God? Toward God. It propitiated. It appeased. It satisfied. It placates. In other words, God put Jesus forward for him to meet his justice. It's almost idiotic. It's almost ridiculous. So just so that you and I could be saved and redeemed. I want to explain a little bit more about this propitiation. The word propitiation in Greek is hilasterion, right? You don't have to know this. Hilasterion, which carries the idea of appeasement and satisfaction, satisfying the justice of God. If you commit a crime to U.S. government, you must satisfy the demand of their justice. You must go to the jail. You must pay for it, right? So hilasterion, propitiation, is to satisfy God's demand. Now, there's another important message about this. You see this word in the Old Testament. You know where you see it? Such an odd place. You see in the temple in the Old Testament, a place called Holy of Holies. Inside the temple, there is the most holy place where God dwells. Nobody could go in there, signifying sinners cannot come to Holy God. There's a thick curtain. Only once a year, high priest, okay, who represents the people of Israel, go into the presence of God on the Day of Atonement. Okay, the way you do is you find perfect lamb, an animal, a perfect without blemish and defect, perfect one, and they bring it to the high priest. Could you picture that? Could you show some emotion and picture that? Yeah. So bring an animal here, and the high priest. This is what they do. They put their hands on this animal's head and pray over. What is he doing? He's doing this. He is transferring your sin, the sin of Israel, upon this animal. Okay? Imputation. You impute your sin upon this animal. And this animal will die in place of you. Vicarious. Vicarious imputation. Isn't that amazing? So this animal takes up all the sin symbolically, right? And the priest goes to the altar and slain the animal, and blood shed and spilled, and the blood gets collected. And this is what he do, what the high priest does. He takes the blood and go into the Holy of Holies through the curtain once a year, and he pour that blood on something called mercy seat, which is hilasterion. Okay, what is that? That's the Ark of the Covenant, and there is a lid. And God gave a very careful instruction to build this lid and Ark of Covenant. Kaporet is in Book of Exodus. Okay, very careful. And in the middle, there is that golden seat. Okay, it's called mercy seat. Hilasterion. And the high priest pours that blood, sprinkle that blood on that golden seat called mercy seat, which signifies blood atones or propitiates the wrath of God, where sinners meet holy God, mercy seat. So insightful, isn't it? And Bible is saying in Romans, Jesus is the mercy seat. Jesus is the mercy seat. Jesus is where the holy God and sinners meet through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the mercy seat. It's so meaningful because, just think about it, when the blood is poured upon the mercy seat, wrath of God is propitiated or appeased, placated. Now the mercy seat began to just let the mercy flow upon his people. That's Jesus. Now where is that mercy seat? I want us to go to Hebrews. Just 1 second. Okay, here it is. Okay, sorry about that. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. We are not redeemed. Remember, the work of the cross toward manward is redemption. He's our great redeemer. We are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but it is with the precious blood as a lamb, unblemished and spotless. It is the blood of Christ. Vicarious imputed sin. You need to transfer your sin to him and let him die, right? And then there is incredible summary of everything in the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews speaks about a sacrificial system of New Testament. Old Testament is about sacrificial system through the lamb, animal sacrifice. New Testament speaks about new sacrificial system through the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Okay? And here is a summary. And by that, will we have been sanctified or justified, or we are saved through offering a body of Jesus Christ once and for all. That's the key word. Once and for all, right? Jesus, body of Christ. That's the cross, isn't it? Verse 11. And every priest stands daily at his service. We're talking about the Old Testament. Every day they make sacrifice, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take the sins. Did you know that? Once and for all, which means the power of the blood, not only there and then, but it goes all the way back to the Genesis 1 and all the way to the return of Christ. Once and for all on the cross. So what was that Old Testament sacrifice then? It's just a pointer. It's just a pointer that we need a perfect sacrifice. It's the pointer, okay? Can never take away sin, but when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sin, a single sacrifice, it's the cross, okay? What happened then? And then now he sat down at the right hand of God. He just sat down, it's done. Okay, now sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. And then listen to verse 14. By a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being justified or sanctified or saved. It's just one time, perfect sacrifice has perfected, propitiated. That's the message of Christianity. You don't try to jump Niagara Falls on your own. You can't do it. You maybe do it, maybe a little bit better than me because you're younger and more athletic, but you're going to drown anyway. Every single one of you will drown. If you try to jump from American side of Niagara Falls to the Canadian side, every single one of you will drown. And then the wrath of God afterward. Then how? One sacrifice. Perfected sacrifice for all sin. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Offered up on Calvary and became the mercy seat. Do you remember what happened when Jesus died on the cross? That temple, that thick curtain in Jerusalem temple, which is thick, has been torn from top to bottom. Shhh! It's open forever. And he took the blood and he poured upon that mercy seat, which is Calvary, where holiness of God and justice of God and sinners we meet. That's the Christian message, people. I was meditating this week, and that's why I asked for this song today, because this is an old song, but especially the chorus part, okay, really summarizes what we are talking about here. The chorus goes that you are God. Who's that? Who are we talking about? Who are we singing to? You are God. In other words, we're singing to a person right now. Who's that? Christ, Jesus Christ, right? You are God. You are the way, and you are the truth, and you are the life. You are the only way, by the way. You are the only way. I'm the only way, he said. Let's make that clear. Make up your mind. You are the way and the truth and the life. King of kings, Lord of lords. He created everything, people. Lord of lords, Prince of peace, Lord Jesus Christ. You know why he's a great redeemer? Because he's a great person. How great is he? There's no one greater. How is that? Well, you know why he's a great redeemer? Because he's great. Person of God is great. Person of Jesus is great. There's no one greater. It cannot be compared to Mr. Trump or Mr. Putin. It cannot be compared to your school and degree. It cannot be compared to anything. He is incomparable person, holy. And you're going to have to stand before him when your life is done. Right? And you have no chance apart from Christ. Right? So, what kind of work did he do? The second page. By your shed blood. Ah, man. Does it make sense to you? This person shedding blood? That's the message of the gospel. That's the message of Christianity. By your shed blood, my great redeemer. My great redeemer. You know why he's great? Because he is great and his work is great. Who could propitiate? Who could placate? Who could appease? Who could satisfy the wrath of God? There's no one. Only man, Christ Jesus, through that one sacrifice. Okay, not done yet. My great redeemer, you saved my soul and you paid the price. I want to close because with this story again, because some of you are new today. William Cowper wrote a song. In 1700, he was the famous, nationally famous poet. But he got depressed, so he tried to kill himself three times. Okay? Three times. He thought, I'm completely condemned and I am a hopeless person. So he tried to kill him three times. So he ended up in a mental hospital. And there he met Dr. Cotton, a devout believer in Jesus. Okay? And Dr. Cotton just continued to breathe hope into William Cowper, 28-year-old young man. You are not condemned. You are not condemned. God loves you. God loves you. Okay? After about 6 months, he was sitting on a bench and he found a Bible right next to him. Okay? And obviously it wasn't a coincidence. Something, I guess, someone planned. So he opens the Bible and it opens to John chapter 11. I am the resurrection and the life. And as he was reading, in his writing he writes, he began to feel hope. Just began to feel hope. I am the resurrection and the life. And whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. If you live and believe, you will never die. And all of a sudden, the hope begins to shine upon his soul. Next place he opens up Romans chapter 3, verse 24 and 25. And are justified. All who believe are justified by his blood. As a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation to be received by faith. And as he was doing, he writes in his biography later, the beam of hope just shining upon his soul. Just one verse, just opening up in the mental hospital. The beam of Rehoboam just shining upon his soul and began to believe that blood is enough. Blood is enough. And he began to recover. Okay, he gets out of the hospital 2 years later. It took him 2 years. And then he became the famous William Cowper. Poet, songwriter, Christian writer. Right? And one of the songs he wrote is this song. Remember this song? There's a fountain that is filled with blood, and it flows from Emmanuel's vein. He's a poet, right? Fountain that is filled with blood, and it flows from Emmanuel, Jesus' vein. And I just want to introduce one verse, okay? This is, I think, fourth verse. Eager sins, by faith, I see. You need to receive it by faith. You need to receive it by faith. Only God could help you to do that. By faith, I see the stream that flowing winds supply. Do you see it? From Calvary, from that new sacrifice of the Lamb of God, the blood flows, and flowing winds supply. And what he sees? Redeeming love. Propitiation, redemption. Justice, and love and mercy. Do you hear it? Do you see it? Cross demonstrates propitiation, redemption, justice, and love. Perfect simultaneous display of God. What a wisdom. What an incredible wisdom. Redeeming love has been my theme. It's my everything. That's my everything. That's what I live for. That's what I will die for. And then he writes, and it shall be till I die. It shall be till I die. It shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme, and it shall be till I die. I don't know whether you have life-dominating sin in your life. It could be substance. It could be hate. It could be money. Your love for money. And the ray of beam could be shine upon you, right? Whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Okay, may God give you faith. Soften your heart. Okay? Can we just bow? Let's pray.